Today I'm going to be doing a little double duty up here. I'm going to be reading the scripture and then preaching it as well. But just the word of the Lord from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made him known." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let me pray for us. God, we do thank you for this word from John. There is a lot contained as he introduces his good news to us of Jesus being the Christ. Lord, I pray that you would guide us today and help us to see a couple of things here up front that will be just beautiful to our eyes and rich to our ears, that we would know Christ better and know him truly as Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you guys know from Brian starting us up last week, John is one of those gospels that gives us his purpose really clearly, right up front. There's no doubt about John's purpose because he says it in John 20, verse 31. He writes, "But these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in his name." And as we make our way through John's gospel, we are going to have many opportunities what it means for Jesus to be the Christ. That's the real point of John's gospel. But today, given the fact that we have to narrow our focus a bit, there's a ton going on in this introduction. We're really going to hone in on what this Son of God part of John's purpose, that we would know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we might have life in his name. John opens his gospel with some amazing truths, an incredible promise, and a sobering reality. And just kind of listen to some of these truths. They're going to provide the foundation for everything that he starts to lay on as he builds his gospel. Jesus is the Word who was God, who was with God, and who was God. He was God. All things were made through him. He's the Creator. Light and life were in him. These are big statements. He's the Creator God. He's powerful. He's majestic. He's self-sufficient. He's separate. He's that God. But this Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us in order that God may be known to his people and known in a new way. See, just pause for a minute. When it says he's come to make God known, does that imply that God was not known before now? Well, we would have to say no. God has been revealing himself to his people progressively from the time that he created people. He's been interacting with them. So we would say, of course not, that can't be the case. However, Jesus is coming to reveal something new about God that we need to see. Jesus, the only Son of the Father, is the one who is at the Father's side. He's come to make God fully known. And he's adding something new and special. And for those who see, and for those who believe, who receive this grace and truth from Jesus, an incredible promise is given. The right to become children of God. That's an amazing promise. But we see, if you were listening carefully, there's also a sobering reality within this passage. Even though Jesus became flesh, he dwelt among us and revealed the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, the world did not know him. His own, to whom he was sent, did not receive him. They didn't see him. They didn't hear him. They didn't know him. Therefore, they refused to receive him. And they forfeited the right to an incredible promise. How could this happen to the people that were meant to hear him? And a better question is, could this happen to us? Let me tell you a little story. Several years ago, when Ella was 4 or 5, I heard an interesting conversation between she and Kelly. It was happening in our kitchen back in Lubbock. A lot of big theological questions get answered in our kitchen. But she started out, "Mom, I don't know Jesus." And Kelly responded, "Well, Ella, that's why God gave us the Bible." And she said, "But I can't see him. God can see Jesus because Jesus is in heaven with God and they're together. And God can see me, but I won't get to see or hear Jesus until I go to heaven." And Kelly responded, "That's why it's important for us to read God's word, so that you'll know Jesus when you see him. How about we read a story about Jesus right now from the Jesus Storybook Bible?" To which at the time, Ella responded, no, and she's off. She's off to go put on dress-ups and play with castles. But we all know this feeling. Sometimes it does feel like I can't see God. I can't hear God. And sometimes it's because we're busy, or we're distracted, or we're bored, or we're indifferent. It's just because we're not really looking. And that's fine. I'm not saying that's okay, but I mean, okay, that... when you're not looking, of course you're not going to see him. But then there are times in our lives when we are actually looking. You know, times of pain and suffering. Times where we got a big decision that needs to get made and we need some guidance. We've got to find a new path. Maybe we want to start a new relationship with someone. Maybe someone that we've known for a really long time, we're praying that their heart would be changed and they would turn to God. And it's at those times that our eyes are peeled and our ears are to the ground. And when we don't hear God, we want to scream out, "Show up, speak to me, do something." We want to scream, "Where are you?" And it's at times like these where we're actually looking and we're not seeing God. I'm afraid it's because we're looking for something very specific. At these times, we're often demanding that God come into my life and fix something according to my terms. I want him to fix this. I want him to change that. I want him to punish them. I want him to give me something that I need. And that's all okay to a point. But that's wanting God to enter into my life, and that's different than what John is encouraging here. John is encouraging us to see Jesus. And Jesus is offering that if we see what he's going to show us, he is bringing us into life with God. Not God coming in to fix my life, but me being invited into the life of God. So we look sometimes, but we don't see. And we listen, but we don't hear God's voice. And at times like these, I think if we can enter into my kitchen with a few other people involved, a few of our biblical writers around my kitchen table, they might respond to us like this. "Hang on. What you say that you can't see him." Paul might say something like this. "You haven't seen him? Jesus, who was the very form of God, was born in the likeness of men. He is the image of the invisible God. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell bodily. There he is. The author of Hebrews might chime in like this. He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Are you sure you're looking? Are you looking? You say you don't hear him. John might say he's the Word that was with God and the Word was God. And that Word has dwelt among us and that Word has spoken and he's made God known. Peter sitting over there at the kitchen island might say, guys, all scripture is God's breathed out speech to us. And the author of Hebrews again chimes in, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. Are you sure you're listening? Are you sure you're listening? If you can't see him, if you can't hear him, it might be an issue of not can't, but won't. The problem might not be that we are simply unable, but that we are unable because we are unwilling. Let me see if I can illustrate this for you. When Kelly and I began our parenting journey, we had a guide named Ted Tripp. Does anybody know Ted Tripp, Shepherding a Child's Heart? Some of you may be familiar with that book. It's a great book on parenting. In it, Tripp encourages parents to teach their children to obey without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. Now, to all you parents out there, that probably sounds pretty good, right? Without challenge, without excuse, without delay. If any of you work at River Tree Academy, they encourage their students to do a similar thing, to obey immediately, completely, and cheerfully. Now, that sounds awesome. But as I've parented for a while, I realize that's actually a pretty tall order for a lot of children to do. And often in our little journey in parenting, the classic response that we would get as we encourage this obedience was, but I can't. I can't do it. Now, being an all-wise parent who has also studied exercise physiology, biomechanics, and child development, I would look at my children and go, I actually know that you can. I know a lot about the body, about the way the body works, and you can stop playing with those toys, take off your pajamas, and put on the school clothes that are already laid out for you. So when that would happen, I thought it would be a great idea to tell my children, you cannot say, I can't. You have to look at me and say, Daddy, I won't do that. Or Mommy, I refuse to obey you right now. Now what happened in those moments was, it seemed insane to me. The way that the emotional temperature would rise in those moments, the tears that would burst from my children, it shocked me when we started doing that. Because see, what would happen was, to say that I can't sounds like, it's very comfortable to say that I can't, right? You can't hold me responsible for an inability. If I can't do something, you can't be mad at me. But for me to actually come back and say I won't, that has like a ring of rebellion in it. It has refusal on it. And I can be held accountable for that. So it feels real good to say I can't. Well, guys, I want to say that Jesus experienced this with people. Jesus was coming to show his people something special that they needed to see. And they weren't seeing it. And he wanted to make sure that it was not an issue of can't. He wanted them to know it was an issue of want. And so I'm going to point us just a little bit forward in the gospel to John chapter 5. And I'm just going to kind of summarize the conversation that Jesus has with God's people in it. Jesus actually acknowledges that they can't hear very well. He says to them, his voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you. But it's not because you can't. It's because you refuse. This is not inability. Don't mistake it. This is unwillingness. You refuse to come to me to see God. You refuse to come to me to hear his voice and what he wants to say to you. You refuse to come to me that I might give you life with him. And this is where the danger is revealed. Jesus says in John 5, these words that he addresses to those people, he's addressing it to religious types, folks like us, The people that are supposed to want to know God, this is who Jesus is talking to. And he says, you do not see, you do not hear, because you refuse to believe the one whom he sent. I am here to make him known. Why in the world would you refuse to come? Why do you think they would refuse? Why would they not want to come to Jesus in this moment? And I think that we see just a little bit more in John 5 here that gets unpacked. He says, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. I have come into my Father's name and you won't receive me. So Jesus is coming to reveal something to them that they're supposed to be seeing. And the question is, what keeps religious types from seeing it? What is it that they want to see or that they're not interested in seeing about Jesus? And I think there's two things that we need to make note of here. They thought they already knew God. They thought they already knew him. And they actually thought they knew how to relate to him. See, the part of God that they knew was revealed to them by Moses. But they were missing the fullness of God now revealed through Jesus, the Son. And they were completely forfeiting life with him. See, when Moses met God, God introduced himself to Moses as Yahweh. And I'm leaning on J.I. Packer here just a little bit. I want you to know, if any of you guys have the book Knowing God, if you have it, dust it off. Read chapter 19 on being a son of God. It's a great chapter. If you don't have this book, get it and read chapter 19. But what he points out is that when God introduces himself to Moses, he introduces himself as Yahweh. And that's God's covenant name for his people. That means he has a relationship to them. But Yahweh is like, it sets God apart in him, in and of himself, as who he is separate from them. He's holy. He's majestic. He's a king. He rules. And he's a judge and he's a lawgiver. And that Yahweh reveals himself in covenant to his people by giving them the law. And I don't know if you know this, but when he gave them the law, the people cried out. They covered their ears. They were afraid if they heard his voice that they would die. So they asked Moses to go listen to God and mediate his word to them. And Moses mediated the law to them. But they were scared to death of it. And that's the God that they knew. And when we fast forward to the time of the Gospels and we see that these people are now, they seem very comfortable with God. It makes me realize that they think that they know how to relate to God. Jesus says that you search the scriptures because you think that in them there's life. They think that they can look in the scriptures, they can find ways to live and relate to God, and that they can be okay with him. But the law was to point them to the holiness of God, the holiness of Yahweh. And then Jesus says in this passage, he says, if you don't listen to me, don't think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Now, what is he talking about? Jesus is referring back to Moses' words from Deuteronomy 18. And I'm just going to paraphrase. Moses basically said to God's people when they were terrified of his voice, there is another prophet that is coming. And he's going to come and he's going to reveal to you God in another way. And he says this, I will raise up a prophet from among you, from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in his name, I myself will require it of him. This is what he's saying. One is coming who is going to tell you something new about me, and you better be listening. You better be listening. And Jesus is claiming to be the ultimate prophet to whom all God's people are to listen. And if they don't, trouble is coming. But it's not because God's going to be mad at them, because he's going to pout and stomp his feet. There is more to the contrast between Jesus and Moses than that. It's not just about who speaks the loudest or who has the last word. It's the content that counts. And here's what we can't miss. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Christ. And particularly Christ as the Son of God, uniquely suited to showing us something new about God. Jesus is saying you cannot fully know God by only seeing him through the words of Moses and the law. Jesus is here to show us God as Father. That's the difference. It's not that God is no longer Yahweh anymore, that he's not a just and righteous judge who gives the law. Not at all. He's still that. But Jesus is uniquely suited to come show us that God is also Father to us. And that through Jesus, we can enter into God's family. If we only look at the law and at Moses, we're doomed because it is incapable of establishing the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, comes to reveal to us God the Father, and he is the only one who can do it. He's the only one who knows God's holiness, yet who has only experienced God's holiness as that of a father. Hear what I'm saying. Jesus knows God's holiness, but only as a father. We know God's holiness, but only as a judge. Right? We know it as Yahweh. We know it as judge. Jesus is the one uniquely suited to come show us the difference. And kiddos out there, I want you to note this. I got a little mathematical equation for you. It's the holiness of God minus Jesus equals a lot of running. The holiness of God minus Jesus equals a lot of running. And this is what I mean by that. If we see the holiness of God without seeing Jesus, it's going to make us want to do one of two things. We're either going to want to run away from God because he's holy and it's scary, or we're going to want to run. We're going to want to run. We're going to get on that hamster wheel of the law, and we're going to want to get after it. And we're going to run in circles and in circles. Those are our two options, to run away or to run in circles. But if we actually see what Jesus is here to reveal, the holiness of God, but we see it as the holiness of the Father, it's going to want to make us run to Jesus or to God and into his arms. That's the power that Jesus has. When he comes to fully reveal God, he reveals him as our Father. Because Jesus came into the world and he actually was willing to put himself in our place and to actually get to know God as a judge and allow himself to be judged in our place, he now opens the door wide to give us the right to be called children of God. And one final thing I want you to see about this. It's so interesting, that wording. He gives us the right, not the power, to become the children of God. See, if it was about power, it might put us back on the treadmill again, the little hamster wheel, and get us going. It's not about a power that we have to exercise. Jesus, as the Son, the eternal Son, has come in, revealed God as Father. And by being judged by him, he has earned the right to all who believe in his name to say, you are a child of God. So let me give you one closing application. When we come to the scripture and we try to see, there's a lot of things that we can come to see in scripture. But the main thing that we need to come when we come to it is we need to try to see Jesus. And there's no better way of doing that than to learning to read our Bibles and see Jesus on every page. And many of you know that we talk a lot here at Trinity about the Jesus Storybook Bible. And so as we enter the new year, we are going to start a reading plan for all of you guys who have families. And for any of you singles out there, empty nesters too, I recommend you get the Jesus Storybook Bible. And we're going to start learning to read it together and start learning to see Jesus on every page. Let me close with this quote from Packer that hopefully will sum up some of what I'm saying here. It's in your bulletin if you want to follow along. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and his prayers and the whole outlook on his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. Father is the Christian name for God. And Jesus, as the eternal Son of God, is the one that is uniquely suited to show us that and give us that. So we can have life with God the Father because Jesus has given us the right to become children of God. Let me pray for us. God, we do thank you for the testimony of John, that he is calling us to see that Jesus has come into the world uniquely as a Son of God, uniquely suited to show us the Father. Lord, would you open our eyes? Would you open our ears? Would you help us be attentive to the word that you have given us? And that as we attend to it, would you help us to see Jesus on every page? Would you help us to see him as the Christ, but also your very Son, who is not ashamed to call us brothers and calls us into your family? We pray for these things in Christ's name. Amen.